Welcome, welcome to Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris. We are here in Fresno, California, here for the statewide committee on Poor People's Campaign. And good man here from Sacramento. We going live all over the country. And man, this brother right here, he's just amazing right here. We on Blog Talk Radio here going live across the world. And I apologize because I know last week we were supposed to get together and you were supposed to come on the show and just a lot going on and a lot moving. But I just want to get some work. I know we're getting ready to start right now and everything, but kind of tell us what the Poor People's Campaign is about. We got folks listening all over the world and live streaming worldwide.
The Poor People's Campaign is about the work of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Covering his work and bringing forth back the continuance of what he did in 1967, December 4th, what he started back then, and then picking up from the 50th anniversary. So the three pillars during that time was justice, jobs, and equality. Now we have four pillars, which we have systemic racism, we have ecological devastation. So these are the things that we are fighting against today when it comes to poverty, not only just poverty, but deep poverty. So these issues and trials that we face today are some of the things we are at the table in a discussion of bringing people together in a moral fusion, people from all walks of life. One thing about poverty, it holds no color and it knows no name. You know, it only knows the conscience of the user who points and pulls the trigger on those who are less fortunate between the haves and the have-nots. So that's what we're doing here in the state of California and across the country, bringing a national revival so we can address the situation, because poverty is creating a new class of people, which you see in homelessness. Those are lacking in health care and opportunity. The automation is coming through and taking away the industrial jobs where we are lacking in housing. We're lacking in clean water. We're lacking in the rights for the least of these. So all of these things are around the poor people. So in this matter of living today, you know, especially when it comes to our living status today. So it's very important, you know, that we all pay attention, especially with this economy that we see, not the presidency of the United States, because that's a different economy. That economy of Wall Street doesn't pertain to us. We're the economy of Main Street. And the Main Street economy is the economy that is suffering today. That's what of everyday people. And that's what we need to make the change, start a grassroots movement to bring a significant change of equality from inequality.
You know, we had an opportunity to meet you through your cousin, Pastor Archie, and
yes.
he contacted me, and we did the first day here. We kicked it off here in Fresno, and we had some all walks of life here. Where do you see this going right now in California? I mean, California is next to the border of Mexico. We have a president building a wall. We had clergy who went down there to stand against that. And, you know, we have a national Reverend Barber from the East Coast who's really, you know, charging us up right now to say, get involved. You know, don't sit on the sideline. You know, don't be a bump on the log, but get involved in your communities. How
where do you see us going right now here in California, and how do we connect the dots? Because Dr. King was very, very intentional when he went into different communities. He brought other folks from other communities into communities because those people were scared to speak against the power structure. So King brought in loads of people to give encouragement to support different movements and issues that, I mean, he came to Fresno. He came to Fresno.
Well, yeah, Dr. King, he went everywhere because what we have to do the same thing because what Dr. King was doing, more than a title, he wanted to be testimony. And that's what we have to do in this same cause, is to bring testimony. And that's what this is about. And how we're going to resolve the problem is to go throughout the state and bring testimony throughout the region and throughout every area that's impacted, not just with poverty itself, but with deep poverty, because where Dr. King went, he just didn't deal with poverty. He dealt deep poverty, the very bottom of poverty, and to raise the issue. Because you go back to Mississippi and places there, like in the South, where they were riddled with poverty, you know, that's where the main concern was, where he started, you know, where they could take big signs of just boiling water, you know what I'm saying? And folks couldn't eat boiling water, you know, they had nothing, you know, so. But that's the concern today. If you look around the state of California and you see so much homelessness, see what I'm saying? Now you're seeing where people are homeless because they're burnt out of their homes throughout the region and the valley and throughout the state. So that's another issue. So there's a crisis here. And so what we have to do as the citizens, we have to make sure that we keep lens and the focus on these issues and not let them turn away from it, because if we allow them to change the narrative, then we are the ones that are allowing them to win the fight. The fight is keeping a voice, you know, our situation, and holding a strong magnitude, you know, to what this cause is. You know what I'm saying? Poverty, don't fight the poor, the poverty. And poverty is the main issue, because poverty is creating a new class of people. And that new class of people is the have-nots. And the have-nots, it can't be that way, because in the United States of America, it's the richest country in the nation. And when we talk about California, California is the richest state in the nation. California is richer than most countries. So see, we should call California ashamed on what they're doing now when it comes to poverty in its own state, you know, because we have the money. We have the necessary tools to stop poverty. It has to be us to continue to lobby and campaign and continue not just to go to the Capitol, but go to our civic houses, go to our county representatives and our state representatives to make sure and ensure that they are working for us and not for the oligarchs, and continue to let them know that we are the true taxpayers of this state, and we are the true revenue bringers, and we want to make sure that we get the returns on our money and on our investments. And that's just the investments on humanities, not on the development of new ideas that we have that brings in automation, that takes jobs away from people, put them in dire straight positions, but bring in new ideas that puts us back, that keeps up with the cost of living.
How do you think when we went to Sacramento, and I spoke, and you spoke, and Danny Glover, was that him?
Danny Glover
was there. I had an opportunity to meet him, and he thanked me. It was just good to meet him. When we did the rallies and marching through the Capitol, do you feel that had an impact on, do you think the politicians in the Capitol heard us, or it was like, just forget about them, it's just a bunch of short groups? Do you really think they sincerely heard us, our demands? Because I like how you put it. You said we got to have demands right on the table.
Exactly.
And I just, and when every time I hear you say that, it's like with such power thrust, we have to have demands on the table. Do you really feel the 40-day, the people who got arrested, the people who did the civil disobedience, the marching in the Capitol, But do you think that had an effect?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I think it had an effect is because we went back this year. It was a day that you were also supposed to be there on the December 3rd of 2018 when we did the testimonies.
Right, right.
And remember, when we went to do those testimonies, we had some of the legislators back during the 40 days when we were getting arrested and making those demands that supported us in the 40 days that fasted. Now, those same legislators that fasted were the ones that came out and supported the testimonies, and they are there today with the new legislators that have been voted in to office, and they are there in support of the Four People's Campaign, because when we did the testimonies, our signs were there. They were, the legislators were speaking. Mm-hmm. They were speaking about the Poor People's Campaign, and with the support of the Poor People's Campaign that they had, and we were impacted by the Poor People's Campaign. But also, was what was locked in there was child poverty. So they know that that is the most biggest concern when it comes to poverty. Is child poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying the biggest impact when it comes to poverty. So if a child is without beyond an adult, then we have a greater concern. That's the most value, because a child is a child gift of God. So,
So
we do have it, and right now we have support inside of the Capitol. As you know, we have Jessica Arflow, who works with the Center of Law and Poverty. She's still there, advocating and legislation, you know, for the Poor People Campaign, and to make sure that there's a door that stays open for us. So all we have to do is continue to stay creative, continue to work together and create legislation, you know what I'm saying, and move forward on it and continue our demands. They say, closed mouth don't get fed, you know, and the opportunities, you know, if you don't come forward.
Right.
At the same time, there's another quote too. When, as you begin to start and to work towards these goals, remember, it may not be the biggest, but we always remember, a small drip makes a puddle in anything that you do.
Small drip makes a big. I got to use that in one of my sermons.
My grandfather taught me that.
All right.
So this is grandson. A small drip makes a
What I really liked when we went to Capitol was when we were inside the chambers, and a big statue was up in the middle of the, I don't know if it was chamber hall, and the singing that went on.
Oh, you're talking about the Christopher Columbus statue.
Singing went on, and it was just like, it was a diverse of people, elders, singers, children, babies, strollers, and it was huge, you know, like, I was like, wow.
Yeah, because that statue, when you talk about Christopher Columbus and saying that he discovered America, it left a scar, especially on the indigenous people, because the indigenous say, no, you didn't discover America. They were already here. They discovered Columbus, you know, coming into their land, raping, taking advantage of people, you know, and for them to acknowledge the history of Christopher Columbus and not acknowledge the history of the native people who protect this land, you know, and conserve this land, it's a disrespect, you know. But to have everybody that was there from all walks of life, you know, giving the support to the native people, I think was tremendous. It was amazing. It was something that needed to be done, because not only for that cause, but for the cause today, when we talk about true patriotism and who belongs to this nation and who are the people of this nation, we are the people, the purpose, and the promise, because we all come from different walks of life. We all come from different sizes, shapes, and colors. And there is no one group that is in charge of this nation, and there should not be that. You know what I'm saying? But if there is one, and one that is first, is our native brothers and sisters, because they are the nurturers and nurturers of this land. And that's who we should be giving the respect to. But when we talk about true patriotism, our folks, African Americans, have bled and died in this country. The Latinos and other cultures have bled and died in this country and have given to this country. When you talk about what the president is talking about, nationalism, and he's a nationalist, all that. Well, nationalism cannot is a fake to patriotism. It's a fraud to patriotism. But patriotism is a fraud to democracy because it brings in hypocrisy, because it doesn't recognize the rest of the folks that have done work here. And that's what we have to get back. What Dr. Martin Luther King was doing, he created a multiracial democracy, and we have to get back to that multiracial democracy, to everybody has put in the work in this country, which Reverend Barber talked about today, in creating a moral fusion, you know, seeing everybody's work, everybody's legacy. Here we are now, the February of Black History Month. Our work needs to be recognized, our culture, our legacy, on the foundation, everything that is built in this nation needs to be talked about today. But what are we talking about in this country today when we talk about African American history? Everything continues to come back to racism. We need to get back away from racism and get back to the human race of what we have created here in this country so our kids can thrive and build and continue to be what they are as first-class citizens, to get away from the things that hold them. Brutality, you know what I'm saying? The all the negative to the positive, because we have innovators, we have people that have created in this country a mass amount of things to make this country work. So that's the things that we should be talking about. We have a supremacy in this country that continues to keep us away from these ideas, these great ideas that come from Black America, but we need to get back.
All right. Thank you. There you go, my man, Brother Cal from Sacramento, California, the capital of California. Just want to thank my brother here. This man's a powerful man here. Man, I love this brother here.
Love you too,
I wish
brother.
We had him in Fresno. They wish they had me in Sacramento. So.
I sure do.
We'll tag team.
You go tag team. That's right. And I hope you know that beautiful car you got out there. Because you know you are what you eat.
Just show y'all it right there. There go back there. We still got mustard. You gotta take some mustard greens off.
Oh, yeah.
Some cabbage,
right.
You got mustard greens.
Whatever you give me.
Mustard greens, you got all of it.
That's
back
right. it's not just good food, but that's good medicine. That's good medicine. That's what keeps you healthy back there. That's what he has back there. And the best thing about it is he's teaching the kids to grow it. And that's what we also should be doing. Because the food that we have now that the USDA has given us is poison. It's poison. And we have to know that today. So let's teach our kids the right way, you know, how to grow food.
All right. There you have it. There you have it, my man from Sacramento. All right.
Love you, brother.
Come on over here. Let me get my man over here. Yeah, this is Dr. Hess, Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting from, we see people driving up right now. We have our statewide organizing committee meeting today. We have organizers all over the state.
Yes, sir.
My man right here.
I didn't mean to.
My man, Anthony, come on and talk to us, man. We were live streaming all over the world. Facebook Live, I mean, just the charts are up right now. Why are we here today?
Well, we're here, you know, Dr. Harris, in Fresno. It's always like pointing out the poorest county, actually one of the poorest neighborhoods in the poorest county in California. And I think that's emblematic of why we're here, the poor people's campaign.
Right.
Bringing people together, bringing people together across the country, and including California. All backgrounds, all ethnicities, all genders, all diversity.
Helen,
and
go inside. Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we've got the Poor People campaign has been underway. We've been laying the groundwork for some time. And, of course, we had the actions over the spring and summer. And now we're moving forward. We're not about a flash in the pan. We're about digging in and build something durable. And so I think the time has come in this country, especially here in California. We've got 8 million people living at below the poverty line. We have more homeless people than any other state, and yet we have the fifth largest economy in the world. So there's no justification. All of the resources are available. There's no excuse for poverty. There's no excuse for systemic racism or for any of the other divisions that they use to keep us separated and weak. We're going to get strong, and I think that's why we're here. We're pulling our California coordinating committee together, and so I guess we will take care of our business, but I hope everybody listening here will learn more about the
community. All right. About the actions that we did in Sacramento, do you think it had an impact on the legislators inside California?
You know, I don't think it had a direct, immediate impact. It's one of those things sometimes where it takes time for the message to be changed, you know, to change the narrative. And that's what we're doing. And unfortunately, politicians, most of by nature, they put their finger to the wind and see which way the public sentiment is blowing. And so I think changing the narrative, which means